This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 6th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 302. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And the big deal feature. BC Lions president Dwayne Veneau, the sport marketing expert, joins me to talk about turning around the storied orange and black under dynamic owner Amar Doman. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or was Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's announcement on August 2nd a case of karma? If you didn't hear, Trudeau and wife Sophie Gregoire have separated. The second time in less than 50 years that a prime minister named Trudeau chose power over a family. In 1977, it was his father Pierre and mother Margaret who split. So why is this karma? Rewind to August 2021. After telling reporters and other MPs for months that he would not call a snap election in the middle of a pandemic, Justin Trudeau went on campaign, aiming to gain majority power in the House of Commons. He did this during the pandemic health emergency, as Kabul fell to the Taliban and forest fires burned Western Canada. He stayed in power with a minority thanks in part to the Chinese Communist Party's help. It was a very divisive election. Sunny ways turned sour as Trudeau imported U.S. culture war-style campaigning. He skipped the first Truth and Reconciliation Day in order to be with Sophie on a getaway to Tofino, B.C., a surefire sign that all was not well at home. 4 months later, the anti-Trudeau trucker convoy protests paralyzed Ottawa. So imagine for a moment, no snap election in 2021, no Chinese election interference, no trip to Tofino, no trucker's convoy, no separation. As the book of Matthew said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. This is the big deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. That is Roar You Lions Roar by Dal Richards Orchestra, the beloved fight song for the BC Lions, for those of you listening from outside British Columbia. The Leos are in their 68th season in the Canadian Football League, the oldest pro sports team in Vancouver. The six-time Grey Cup champion was purchased by building materials tycoon Amar Doman in August 2021. Last year, Doman named Dwayne Veneau the new president of the franchise. Dwayne Veneau is the former Grey Cup and chief events officer for the CFL and former head of marketing for the Edmonton Elks. Co-general manager Neil McAvoy and head coach Rick Campbell are engineering the team's on-field turnaround, which hit a snag on August 3rd with a loss to the Blue Bombers in Winnipeg. But it's Dwayne Veneau's job to bring the fans, the sponsors, back in numbers to BC Place Stadium. I caught up with him on August 1st to talk about his focus on theme nights and affordable ticket prices. Talk about that first year of getting into this market and working with the BC Lions, one of BC's most storied franchise, yet it's had so many ups and downs over the years on field and off field.
Yeah, so it's just been a tremendous experience, and thanks for that kind intro. I started last year, August of 22. I came in and I had I was beneficial to have some overlap time with the current president, Rick Lalisher, and he retired in December. So we really were able to spend some time together and really understand the team itself and Vancouver, and just had some time to sort of work together, and then officially became the president in December, January of this last year, and really got to work and doing everything that we're doing to have the best season sort of on the field and off the field. And we have lots of initiatives that we've got planned, but at the end of the, at, not at the end of the day, that's the wrong way to phrase this, but Amar Doman, who, our new owner, and I keep saying he's our new owner, but he bought the team in 2021 now. So I guess I got to stop using that term, came in sort of halfway through the season in 21. And last year was his first full season as owner. And there was just lots of energy and ideas and a very simple but direct plan on what the vision of the BC Lions was, and we saw some great results last year, and now we're just taking that to the next step in 2023.
With the approach by Amar Doman to kick off the season with a big name music headliner, a big festival outside, that seems to have opened the door to people enjoying Lions in the summertime. And then, of course, the CFL is almost two seasons. Then there comes the fall when the schedule changes. So to talk about that approach to start the season with the big party to bring in people who want to be at an event, and maybe the second half of the season, maybe that's when the football purists come back, and with the hope that you'll bring along some of the event people too.
Granted, it is a small sample size. We're only, three games into our regular season, but we're averaging a 45% increase over that pre-pandemic number. So for us, that's very positive. We want to keep driving to get our attendance numbers back to where they were. We're back pre-pandemic numbers. We want to get them. And every day working at it. And that's the number one thing I work on a daily basis. Everything rolls up to fans coming and loving this team. And it's something that we work on. So talking a little bit about it's an event-based strategy. We have a lot of strategies. There's not one thing that we're doing, but you talk about the themes. And so to kick it off with the concert last year with One Republic, and then following up this year with LL Cool J, it's a statement game, if you will. In a lot of other sports, and football hasn't been that good at it over the years, taking that home opener and really blowing it up and putting your best foot forward. Amar and I would talk about, Major League Baseball as an example. It always blows my mind on, it'll be a Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock when they do the, they do their season openers, and the place is sold out everywhere, and it's an event. And so what we want to do is have that first game, our home opener, that event, that big concert. We did some things this year where we even did an event the night before, and we had a kickoff on Monday with the mayor, and it was BC Lions Day, and every day that week we did an event, and it was really rolling up to that big game. So that was a big focus for us. And again, it was this event-based theme strategy that we want to try to do. So then after that, every single game, we have a major theme around it. And we really use those themes to attract new fan bases and try to, over the season, if not have two or three or four games that will appeal to somebody. Maybe they'll appeal to all of them, but we don't know. But trying to make sure that something in our product mix that is a non-traditional football fan will intrigue them to come. And so our second game was a fan fest, and it's been a big focus, Bob, of what we're trying to achieve. We want to be the BC Lions, the provincial team. It's BC Lions. It's not the Vancouver Lions. And Amar, since the day he bought this team, he said, I want to reach out and invite, young children and families to come to games. And so that was the Family Fest game. Our last game that we did was, it was sort of a fun game, but we were playing the Riders, and everyone knows not everyone knows, but the Riders fans travel well. They're everywhere. They're coast to coast. And instead of fighting them, we wanted to embrace them. And so we talked to the riders about having sort of this dual tailgate party. And I described it as, imagine walking down Robson and you have to make a decision when you get to Terry Fox Plaza. Are you going left? Are you going right? Are you going green? Are you going orange? And bride or groom? And it turned out to be a huge success. It was a great atmosphere, a great vibe. And the number one, the best compliment I think I could get from on behalf of our club was, it felt like Grey Cup, where you weren't fighting with fans, if you will. You were embracing fans of both teams, having a good time. They were all here to celebrate the sport. Then we go into the building, play a football game, and then all bets are off after that. But it had sort of that vibe to us. You know, and another factor is we're really trying to, and I wouldn't even say trying, we're working really hard, and I believe we're succeeding at our whole game day environment. You know, everybody comes, doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be the LL Cool J concert. It's the outside the stadium is fun, and everybody is coming early and having fun. The last game against the Riders, you know, the outside opened at 11 o'clock. The game was 4 p.m, and we were sold out. People could not get into the tailgate at noon. It was sold out at noon, 4 hours before the game time. People having a very good time. Our in-game presentation is fun. It's active. We're really, you know, we're playing very well on the field. Our team's 6-1, and everything's going very well right now as a football club. But also off the field, things are going very well on all aspects. Our game day presentation and sort of in the stadium and out of the stadium is becoming known to. You got to go to a Lions game because it's fun. You're going to have a good time no matter what happens. Now, great. Granted, it's always more fun winning, and we've been doing a lot of that at home. We haven't lost yet at home, so it obviously helps the whole process. Yeah. You know, I'll spend a bit of time to talk about the next couple of games if you want, sure. Bob. So the next game, it's titled, the theme is Best in the West, but it's really you know, it's our Wall of Fame game, and we're putting Wally Buono up on the wall. So we're very excited about that. Also, the Water Boys are going up, and they're represented by you know, Dennis Skalski, the former president, and others, right? And Jamie Plato, and Tom Malone, and Maury Keith, and so they represent the whole Water Boys group. So that's the next game, and we're very excited about it. And then after that, we have a superheroes night. So a lot of teams, and we've done it in the past, it's, you know, like a military appreciation night and everything about, you know, instead of just being a heroes night, if you will, we're taking it to the next level and making it superheroes night. So it's like in the military appreciation and the police appreciation and medical services and all those things that we're so appreciative for, but also adding in an entertainment element of superheroes that will attract and just take it to the next level. The one thing that I'm really happy about is we're doing, well, obviously the Orange Shirt game is coming back. BC Lions has been doing a great job on that for a couple of years now. So that'll be back in the fall, but we're having another fun game. It's called the Gravy Bowl. And this game is over. It's over the, Thanksgiving weekend, but we're playing Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and the Bombers, Bob, I don't have to tell you this, but you know, they've always had you know, some of their game day themes in their stadium as they focus on food, and they have like the biggest burgers and those kinds of things. So we thought, you know what, we're playing them, it's over Thanksgiving, let's have some fun, and let's create the new Turkey Bowl. So we're excited about that one. And also our last game of the season, it's just a sort of a blackout theme. We've always done a fan appreciation style theme, which we still will appreciate our fans, but we're adding elements to it. We're going after this blackout and which is sort of cool. And it's also around Halloween. So it'll have a bit of a Halloween theme to it as well. So again, without getting into all the details, it's really about theming every game, And coupled that with the on-field performance that's going very well, we're just always working to how do we drive new fans when they do come, have a great time, tell friends, and so on.
The Lions have been a mainstay downtown since 1983. And in the last few years, we've seen challenges, including public safety, which are causing some people to think twice about going downtown. And then, of course, there's just the general demographics with the cost of living. People have, through the cost of housing, for instance, have moved to the suburbs. And I know the Lions have a great contingent of people from the Valley, especially, that come in for the games. You know, the Lions are doing everything you can underneath the retractable roof. But outside the stadium, how are you dealing with these challenges?
First of all, cost of living. We have made a conscious effort to, when we're trying to create more fan base every day, we've made a conscious effort to keep our tickets at a very reasonable cost. You can come to a game. You can bring a kid to a game for $10. We have a $10 ticket, and you know, you can get our least expensive ticket is, you know, in advance is $25. So we're really trying to do our best to be cost effective as possible, and we don't want price to be a barrier. We want, if people want to come to our games, they have the ability to do so. You know, going into this, and you know, I'll this sort of addresses both points, but we have 6 4 p.m. starts this year, and that's new for us. And there was a number of reasons why we wanted to try this, and so far it's working. One of the reasons is to bring a family, and to, if we really want to focus on families coming, having an affordable experience, and being able to bring the kids and help create new fan base, you got to get them to the game in a good time, and you got to get them home to bed in a good time. So those 4 o'clock starts really, really do that for us. And one thing we've also, you know, talk about as it relates to that is people that are traveling to and from on the train, they're now on the train at 7:30 versus going on the train at 11:30 at night. So we really like the 4 o'clock starts for one, families, as well as, you know, you can get home safely on the train. And so those are two very big factors for us. Also, the 4 o'clock start did something for us that we sampled last year at the playoff game when we hosted the semifinal. We created these bus packages from the island, from the interior, and so those bus packages we do now too. So we sell a six game ticket that includes all the 4 o'clock starts, and it's an island package, and it's a interior package, and those have been hugely successful. So basically, you can come in and out of the game on one day. You don't have to stay overnight. And it sort of it solves sort of that affordability piece, and also it really is an outreach into the community.
Those were highlights of my interview with Dwayne Veneau, the BC Lions president. The Lions host the Calgary Stampeders on August 12th at BC Place Stadium. Check out bclions.com for information, including tickets.
News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In the Taiwan news, Taiwan president sends message of support to Beijing flood victims. Authorities in Beijing distributed emergency supplies to the affected on Monday, and the local government in nearby Tianjin fortified riverbanks and essential infrastructure. President Tsai, writing in the simplified Chinese script that is used in China but not Taiwan, expressed her concern via social media. Quote, China's Beijing and other places have been affected by the circulation of Typhoon Doksuri after days of heavy rain, causing extensive flood damage and unfortunate casualties. I want to express my concern and condolences. End quote. In Kyoto news, Japan petition urges Barbenheimer hashtag ban over A-bomb memes. The petition says the movement around the hashtag is a, quote, clear indication that there is a widespread lack of awareness about the atrocities of atomic bombing, end quote, and that the social media activity, quote, completely disregards the suffering of atomic bomb victims and survivors. The atomic bombings of Japan by the United States during the closing days of World War II took place on August 6th and August 9th, 1945, in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, respectively. Data from the cities estimates that the bombings caused 210,000 deaths by the end of the year, many of them civilians. In the Hong Kong Free Press, Chinese security ministry attempts to mobilize the masses to fight espionage with new social media account. The security ministry said it would build, quote, a normalized system, end quote, for the masses to identify and report any potential spies and be rewarded for their endeavors. Since its establishment in 1983, the Intelligence and Security Authority has generally kept a low public profile. However, the ministry opened an official account on Chinese social media platform WeChat on Monday and has published two articles so far. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, pumping your own gas to become legal in Oregon. The bill will allow gas station owners statewide to open some unattended pumps, permitting drivers to pump their own gas and skip the wait for an attendant if they choose. The law still requires gas stations to staff at least half of their open pumps for people who want or need assistance, such as senior citizens and those with disabilities. Prices must be the same at both self-serve and staffed gas pumps. In 2021, 60% polled said they were in favor of self-serve gas. In King 5, Seattle, a Seattle City Council committee unanimously passed a proposal from the Seattle International Local Organizing Committee and the mayor's office to officially host matches in the 2026 FIFA World Cup. The mayor's office and LOC believe Seattle will host between 4 and 6 matches in 2026. An estimated 400,000 to 750,000 unique visitors are expected, with each staying 2 to 3 days in market. 100% of hotel capacity will be needed, with Bellingham and Portland taking overflow. In the Times Colonist, vandals rearrange letters of giant West Hills sign, causing thousands of dollars in damage. Vandals who rearranged giant letters spelling West Hills to instead read Heist on a slope in Langford could have created worse phrases, the developer concedes. But with thousands of dollars in damage, he isn't laughing. Rob Mueller, who oversees real estate and marketing, said West Hills Land Corp is offering a $2,000 reward. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. It don't matter what color you are.
The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to all the people behind the BC Games since 1978. August 16th is BC Games Day in BC to celebrate the 45th anniversary of the province's mini Olympics, which have featured 400,000 amateur athletes and volunteers over the years. The next BC Summer Games are in Maple Ridge in 2024. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 6th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 6th of August in 1945, during World War II, the U.S. Air Force dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, killing 70,000 people instantly? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.